Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
And do we have a massive wrestling chunk about or what?
We do.
God, of all the times to vow I'm going to quit wrestling for a month.
Right? Like, and this is your last episode.
This is. For a while, this at least. Is my last episode. So, yeah, I mean, not forever. Like,
well, you say that, okay? You're going to get too used to it, and then it's just going to be hard for you to get back on the wagon. And you're going to be gone forever.
This is not my classy swan song.
Are you sure?
I have every intention of
being. I have not commitment issues, sir, so but you better be telling the truth here.
No, this whole past week, like this Sunday, Monday, and Wednesday combo has been this, like, baby don't go feeling for me. Like, I'm being hardcore wooed by WWE over here.
Really? Payback is part of that wooing? Because Payback was okay, but
you see, I really feel like Payback was a very good non-Big Four pay-per-view. Like as far as that, like, Payback, Battleground, No Way Out, kind of like, we have to do one because of the month
right.
is up. Mm-hmm. Payback was on the higher end of those.
Okay. I mean, I don't have, like, any, like, huge, like, negatives about Payback that I can think of.
I mean, that's part of it. It's like, there's no boo this and boo that. There was nothing I was, like, 1,000% done with. And there were two matches that I was really high on.
Right. So. I don't know, it for me at least, it felt more like a kind of a meh pay-per-view. Like, it felt more like just the pay-per-view that you had to get through to get to the good stuff. Like, yeah, we gotta get the Payback, and then we'll get through, then we got, you know, well, we're really looking forward to TakeOver, and I'm starting to get stoked about Elimination
Chamber. I mean, I will say, like, Elimination Chamber's next, and Money in the Bank is after that, so, like...
Right.
I'm not saying
paper. On paper, we're looking at a pretty good stretch.
We are. So, bye, guys! Like, it is the worst time to, like, vow something. And, okay, here's the thing. Mm. So we've talked about, like, the exceptions, because I'm still going to watch Money in the Bank.
Yep.
And I'm going to probably watch the Raw after Money in the Bank.
Are you going to watch Elimination Chamber?
Yeah, I am. Okay. That was the thing. Is like, so I know
you're probably not going to watch it live or whatever.
Right. There's going
to
be...
And apparently you're too good to watch pay-per-views with your friends. And, you know, whatever. I get it. Marriage changed people. It's whatever.
Well, no, that's the thing. Is like I had the time blocked off, and I was like, and I still get this, you know, this little bit of wrestling. And then, like, but here's another pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. And it's the only swear was never going to happen again that you loved and you're going to miss.
They didn't swear it was going to happen. They just said it was going to be, like, less frequent.
Right. But it was the kind of thing where they were like, it felt like they were done with it.
Right.
And so now it's back. I'm like, oh boy, I love that one. I want to go watch it. So mm-hmm. I got that kind of thing. And so, but I was like, you know, we already agreed I was going to watch those things. And the other thing was like, so we are in the time where something might happen to kick off summer. Like, it's about this to about mid-July where something could happen.
I would argue maybe something has happened. And certainly not like, not huge like Nexus or the Punk promo or whatever, but I feel like this whole, like, this Cena and, oh, Lord, I'm blanking on his name. We just saw him today.
Kevin Owens?
Kevin Owens. That was pretty, like, pretty good out of left field.
No, it's...
And, like, apparently, I don't know if he's on the main roster now, but he's got a match on Elimination Chamber against John Cena, like, right out the gate.
Okay, no, it's good, and it's exciting, and I'm all for that. But do you feel like that is a Nexus or a Punk promo or a Seth betrayal from last year? Because that happened the night after Payback last year. So that's why I'm like, we are in and so here's the thing.
I think...
Here's the thing that we have it's the red phone button, like it's the thing that if at any point during this hiatus time I get a text from you that says the thing happened, and that's all it says, I'm like, all right, I gotta watch Raw.
Okay, okay, I'm glad you said that because that's how I'm supposed to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Just, the thing happened.
The thing happened, and if it's the thing that, like, kicks off the summer, mm-hmm. and the thing happened. Okay. Mm-hmm. And
see, here's the thing, like I don't know if that is the thing or if that's like WWE thinking that's the thing,
right, and we won't
know until it happens, kind of thing.
And we don't get a the thing every year.
No, we don't.
And sometimes we don't get it until it's like leading into SummerSlam, and you look back and you're like, well, that was the thing.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I don't know, like, for some reason, like when Seth did the whole betrayal thing, it really didn't even feel that, like, that big of a thing.
Really?
I don't know. Like, maybe it was like, I don't know. I don't want to say I saw it coming because that's kind of a jerk thing to say. Like, oh, no, I saw it coming a mile away. Like, of course you did because you're talking about a year later.
Right.
You know, but I don't know. Like, it was one of those things where, like, they're probably going to break up at some point. I don't know when. I don't know if it's going to be soon. But it's going to happen. So I don't know. Like, that, by that aspect, I really didn't.
See, that one really
felt. It didn't feel like that same kind of, like, because tag teams break up all the time.
Tag teams do break up, but, like, with the Shield, we had such of a like, they were teasing the breakup, and then they decided to stay together, and they were strong in their.
And then they became faces, yeah.
And then they became faces. They took on the Wyatt family, and then took on Evolution in sort of this, like, little short period. So I was like, nope, they've done it. They got the thing. Here we go. And it did not feel like the time was leading up to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I knew they were going to break up, and I knew one of them was going to turn heel. Like, I knew all that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it did not feel like we were in that time until he says there's a plan C.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, it's going to be somebody.
Yeah.
And you're looking at him like, who's going to be the guy? Here it comes.
Right. And then after he said that, there's always a plan C. You go back in the ring and, you know, Seth is holding him. He's holding a chair, and I'm like, and he's standing a little bit behind everybody else. I was like,
But like, you go back to like your thoughts, and your thoughts at that moment were like, Seth,
yeah,
not Dean, Seth.
Honestly, because I thought like Seth, I thought he was gonna make a great face, and I was like, he's gonna be a great face whenever he all by himself. I thought if anybody was gonna be the heel, I was like, it's gonna be Dean, you know.
Well, you were looking at this like this Superman versus the Joker kind of Dean and Roman Reigns thing going on here.
Yeah.
And, you know, Seth was destined to be the, like, don't forget about me, you guys.
A little bit, yeah. And now it's completely turned around.
Yeah, now how many of them are champion?
Right, yeah.
So, okay, but let's go through Payback real quick.
If we have to.
Let's skip through it and really focus on two matches.
Okay, fair enough. We got an additional kickoff match that I'm sure everyone cares about.
Having not watched Payback live, having to watch it the next day, I did not watch the kickoff show.
Boy, did you miss nothing. We had R-Truth defeating Stardust.
Okay.
Because why not?
Poor Stardust.
We had... Wikipedia is wrong. They have them listed as the Mega Powers. I'm pretty sure WWE called them the Meta Powers.
They did call them the Meta Powers, but then they also called them the Mega Powers.
Okay.
On the day of.
That's just inaccurate in every sense of the word. But it doesn't matter because the Ascension won.
Which I'm upset about.
You didn't watch it, but you're upset about it.
I am.
Why are you upset about it? And B, why do you care? I mean, yeah, like,
Because Meta Powers is weird and different, and why not? Let's see where this goes.
I mean, did you, like, see any photos from this or anything? Because Axelmania was, like, full Hulk mode. Like, had a bandana, had, like, you know, and then, like, he cut himself into a nice little Fu Manchu mustache and dyed it blonde.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
And, you know, Macho Mandow is, you know, terrible, but it's something different. And
part of the thing is, I am so completely not feeling the Ascension, and I feel like I'm comfortably in the middle of a crowd, a giant crowd who's not feeling the Ascension.
Yeah,
and so here's the thing: the Meta Powers is a stupid, weird idea that has this tiny kernel of like, what if this was really awesome?
And in the sense of Damian Mizdow.
Exactly.
It's that exact same thing.
I mean, and that's part of the thing.
And it's like they're trying to, like, you know, have lightning strike twice with Sandow.
Well, the thing is, like, I have to sit here and go, you know, okay, so the Ascension is not working. I don't anticipate the Ascension really working ever. I feel like we're all on that page. Except for the WWE, who's about three pages behind.
Well, it seemed like they're on board there for a while, because we didn't even see them for a good while. So I was like, all right, maybe they're just, you know, kind of, you know, tooling them a little bit down, like, just to where they're not, like, so 80s, right? You know, that 80s tag team kind of vibe, because I know that was very much purposeful when they had him come out like that,
right?
You know, that's why they mentioned all these, you know, previous tag teams before they came out, because they were the one that's what they were trying to emulate. So I don't know, I was thinking that since we didn't see them for a while, that maybe that was them, like, kind of, you know, tinkering with them a little bit, but it turns out they're not.
Yeah. So it's just the kind of thing. How many things will have to fall until they get on the page that I'm on for the Ascension? And the thing is, like,
I mean, just a continuation of the crowd, just, you know.
Well, but the thing is, like, something like the Meta Powers. The chances of the Meta Powers actually being a good thing, mm-hmm, is so fragile and, like,
right,
delicate to begin with, and so it will quickly fall to, we gotta try and make this Ascension thing work.
Right. Kind of like how New Day was whenever they were faces, just wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's easy to tell if it's not working. If a face isn't working, you know, if they're, like, booing, and they're a face, then that's an easy, you know, like...
Easy indicator.
Right. If you're a heel, and nobody's feeling it, you're still booing.
Yeah.
So it's like... it's kind of hard in WWE's eyes.
It's hard
to delineate.
We as a WWE universe need to come up with a third independent noise to make when we are.
Oh, I have the perfect thing for that. Nothing. Just silence. If you, like, think something is bad, not because it is a heel or whatever, just give them crickets.
No.
You know? Like, that's what should have happened with Tensai. Should have been crickets. Like, that was the campaign that I was trying to, like, rally for so long. Like, you know, I was telling people, like, whenever Tensai came out, we all know you hate it as much as we do, so just turn around and face the other way. Like, face your back towards the ring and not say a single word. Maybe that'll, you know, and then eventually everyone's like, yeah, okay, man, this is kind of dumb.
Yeah.
But then again, we got Sweet Tea. That guy is the head
of NXT. The new head of NXT, by the way.
The NXT trainer.
Congratulations to that fellow.
And Sarah Del Rey is the new assistant.
Yeah.
So, I think they got the right people in.
I gotta say, I'm looking forward to that season of Tough Enough.
They're not on Tough Enough.
Are they not gonna be I assume they were gonna have, like... I mean, even if they were not, they're not, obviously... Because Stone Cold's hosting it, right?
No.
Who's doing...
Wow, you are so getting all this wrong.
Who's doing Tough Enough?
Jericho.
Jericho's
doing Tough Enough.
When was this announced?
And then they have judges, which are Hulk Hogan, Daniel Bryan, and Paige. Then you have trainers, which are Booker, Lita, and there's a third that I'm forgetting.
This is on the USA Network, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. They did the whole, like, up front this past week.
I completely missed this.
I was spacing on who the third... trainer is, but I'm pretty sure it's not Jason Albert, Sweet Tea, Tensai,
yeah.
Albert, whatever. So, wow, you really got all that wrong.
I honestly not heard anything about Tough Enough. I had seen, like, the videos of the
yeah
of the things, and that's, like, I'm really excited for Tough Enough, so I don't have to watch these videos anymore.
There was like a novelty to it, like, for the first.
Four.
Minute.
Like, that's the thing. You get four videos.
Right. And then, like, now it's becoming a weekly thing now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing it's going to be a weekly thing until, you know, the actual show starts.
Right.
But, yeah, no, I've definitely had enough of it. I've had enough of Tough Enough. It's bugging me. I have to look up who the trainers are.
Boo.
Why are you booing? You booing my Tough Enough joke?
I am.
How dare you?
I'm sorry. I'm going to now stand up and turn around and not face you, so you can understand exactly why I'm booing.
Because now that you gave me a reaction, I'm thinking, all right, I really got this whole, like, you know...
this heel Tough Enough character.
This heel Tough Enough. Oh, yeah, right. Okay, the other trainer I wasn't thinking of was Billy Gunn.
Okay.
Who's already a trainer at NXT.
Yeah.
So... or an agent, or whatever you want to call it, yeah.
Okay, what was the next match on Payback?
The next match on Payback was Sheamus versus Ziggler, and with Sheamus getting the win.
Mm.
I know, you're... you feel weird about any Ziggler loss?
Well, okay, here, I'll go ahead and get into this.
Okay.
Because it's Lana related, which...
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
Which puts us also into the I Quit match.
And Raw.
And Raw. So when Lana, clearly they were going to split up. Clearly.
Yeah.
Lana and...
The writing was on the wall.
And I kind of feel like this was the time to do it, because, well, honestly, because...
Well, things have got to change for Rusev.
Right, that's the thing. Because
he's not the unbeaten guy.
He's not the unbeaten guy. He has also faced John Cena in the past 4 pay-per-views.
And lost all 4 times. Oh, no. The first one was, what, DQ? John Cena passed out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, he is... He definitely needs a new non-Cena feud.
Right.
And he needs something that I feel like he can win, because I don't want what happened to Bray Wyatt after Mania 30 to happen to Rusev.
Right.
And so,
although at least Wyatt got a win on John Cena at one point.
Yeah.
He won the cage match.
He won the cage match. But he lost pretty much all his momentum.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. And so him facing Lana is a good, compelling, interesting story.
Or him facing whoever else Lana has chosen, which apparently is Ziggler.
Right, right. But, I don't know, this really kind of fast turnaround of, like, he sends Lana away Sunday night, and then Monday night she comes out and kisses Ziggler.
Well,
and
they break up towards the beginning of Raw.
Right.
So within, like, not even like from one night to another, it's the same night that the turnaround happens. And a part of that, I think, is, you know, they're trying to build some compelling story because Rusev's in the Elimination Chamber for the Intercontinental Championship. Ziggler is as well. They have that little tiny storyline going into that match to add additional intrigue. And, you know, it's less than 2 weeks away. You know, the very next Raw is going to be the go-home show for Elimination Chamber. So that probably is why they felt a little rushed. Personally, I would have at least liked they have waited like a week.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they wouldn't have felt as rushed.
But the thing is, like, so I do feel like, okay, Rusev needs to win the next thing. Rusev does not need to...
The only problem is that next thing is apparently Ziggler.
The next thing is Ziggler. Yeah. And it's like, okay, so yeah, Ziggler's a great guy to, you know, to... He is in this perpetual, like, he looks like he could win, but he always loses, so he keeps putting people over, and it's kind of the Chris Jericho thing.
Right.
And it's...
When Jericho comes back and he puts everyone over and never wins.
Right, but it's honestly starting to be like, I'm not sure what they have for Ziggler.
Right.
And I'm... And, I mean, and don't get me wrong, I still adore the guy in the ring and will always, you know, be excited for that. Mm-hmm. But, like... I kind of wish they would hold off until they really have something for Ziggler.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, okay, because look at this. Like, the Sheamus feud lasted 2 pay-per-views.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he won the Kiss Me Arse match, technically, but it ended with Sheamus' music.
Yeah.
You know, it ended with Sheamus beating him up and Sheamus' music and Sheamus standing over him yelling. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, so he just loses. And he loses spectacularly, but...
But eventually he catches up as far as your momentum.
Well, and that's...
Because he had a lot of momentum going towards the end of the year, and even in WrestleMania, because he had that... You know, him and Daniel Bryan seemed like they were on fire.
Yeah.
Especially against each other. And then afterwards, you know, it's all kind of tailed off, and, you know, yeah, you're right. Like, you know, he should have come off Extreme Rules, probably looking a little bit stronger than what he did.
But
at the same time, like, I understand you got to build intrigue for the next week. But yeah, you're right. Like, you know, you kind of stomped all over that win.
Well, I'm like,
literally.
I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not super excited for another Dolph Ziggler and a girlfriend thing.
Yeah, but that's his thing, though. He steals your girlfriend.
Yeah, but like, it's that continues to not work as getting him fully over.
It helped. Like, him and AJ were fun. Vicky was Vicky, like, but she was also a heat magnet.
Yeah,
like, and Lana was too, before, you know, everyone was like, oh wait, she's really hot.
Yeah.
And her hotness got her over as a face.
But that's kind of the thing that I'm saying. I was like, I don't see Lana and Ziggler going anywhere. It's set up so rushed, and the history of Ziggler is so much so, and kind of Lana as well, but it's set up so when it happens, there's no feeling of like, oh, this is the new status quo now. It feels like, oh, this is what it's going to be for the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
There's no point in getting invested. And that's part of the thing is like, cause I was having old pay-per-views pretty much on, you know, about as on random as I could get, just, you know, kind of having background noise. Mm-hmm. And it was looking at different people who were faces or who were heels or who were there, who aren't there now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's stuff like Mark Henry's Hall of Pain. And those are the time Mark Henry was, you know, top of the card, at least on SmackDown kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, this is when stuff happens and it feels like this is the new status quo.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I know it won't last forever because it's wrestling, even though I know that, you know, something will happen, guys will go up and down the card, when something happens, it needs to feel like this is the way things are going to go from now on.
Right.
And this doesn't. Mm-hmm. This feels like a temporary thing that will only last a few weeks. Even right. if it doesn't, it feels like it's going to.
Right.
And that's a problem because it feels like there's no point in getting invested in this. This is just another month delay on that Ziggler push that I want.
Right. Yeah, it's basically like a very, like, shoddy glue job that just like, let's stick them two together for right now.
Yeah.
And then whenever we're done with that, we'll revisit it.
It has gotten to the point where I am hoping Ziggler disappears from TV for a month to a month and a half just to get some kind of return pop.
Right, so he would get some sort of main card push.
And so I would know when he comes back, oh, there's a thing in mind.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. Also, let's just point this out. People that we like, stop headbutting Sheamus. Because the last time that we saw Daniel Bryan was when he tried to headbutt Sheamus, and he got pretty badly opened up. And then he got Ziggler, who just headbutted him once, and dear God, just a river of blood.
Yeah, and then he just Ric Flaired everywhere.
Right, because he's got that hair, too. Like,
mm-hmm.
like that hair turned solid red.
Yeah.
Or half of it, at least. Yeah, not...
All right, next match.
Next match... Let me pull it up. The 2 out of 3 falls tag team championship match.
This was an amazing match.
I loved it, yeah.
This is, like...
Although I was mad at the ref for not allowing...
not allowing Xavier Woods
to go. The Freebird rules. Yeah.
This is... Okay, so I kind of feel like you stumbled into it, but this will do more for your tag team division. These two teams than the Usos... Have done in their...
Right, because Usos were like the John Cena of tag teams and were beating everyone and basically treating everyone else like a non-credible threat.
Right.
You know, that's why, like, you know, the Wyatts were great, but...
I mean, I can watch...
I felt like they were more fed to the Usos than anything, yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like I can watch these two tag teams pretty much go on repeat with each other. For a good month, a good 2 months.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. And honestly, like, that... I agree with you. That's going to... That would do more for the tag team division than almost anything else. Also, I'm really intrigued by this tag team elimination chamber thing.
I am, too.
Like, that's a lot of people to it have
is.
In that thing.
It is.
And
are there going to be 3 New Day people legal?
No, I think, like, that kind of, like... This pay-per-view kind of set a precedent, you know?
Yeah.
They're only going to allow 2.
But can it be any 2?
No, they're probably going to say Kofi. And,
or, yeah, or are we going to...
Because they were involved whenever they, you know, they got the championships.
Yeah.
So, yeah, probably Kofi and Big E.
Okay.
Which is fine because... Xavier's a great...
He's hype man.
Yeah, he's a great hype man.
Yeah.
A lot of people were calling a little bit of racism. whenever the final pin was Xavier Woods, and, you know, he was kind of hiding his face, and the referee counted it. But at the same time, Michael Cole, the week before on Raw, really badly got Xavier Woods and Kofi mixed up.
Yeah.
And stuck with it to the point where when the other guy showed up, he called him the other guy. Like, I think it was Xavier Woods got involved in the match and was like, you know, tripped somebody up or whatever. He called him Kofi. And then when the real Kofi came in, he called Kofi Xavier Woods.
Yeah.
So at least he was consistent, I guess.
I don't know.
Either way, I thought that was a good ending.
I thought it was a good ending. I thought it was, I mean...
And it very much felt, like, appropriate for New Day to try something like that.
Yeah.
Didn't quite work out the way I had wished it would have, with, you know, the whole, like, you know, switching guys out whenever they get pinned or whatever.
Right.
But, fine, whatever. But, yeah, I enjoy the match.
But
Cesaro has been on a... I don't know. He's been even more Cesaro-y lately, and it's amazing.
He's on display.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So no, it's that, as far as watching a match, that, I mean, that's pretty much all I could have ever asked for in that match.
No, I agree.
So.
And moving on, we have Bray Wyatt defeating Ryback. Felt like, apparently it's a one-off, because
yeah.
I think Ryback is in the Elimination Chamber.
He is. Bray Wyatt won, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because here's my honest, like, my honest problem with that. And it's a tiny thing, but we're going to talk about tiny things later. It's a tiny thing, but it's Bray Wyatt, it's Ryback getting back in on the 9 count, and Bray Wyatt is standing in the ring and yells, "Count him out, ref."
Yeah.
I'm like, you are the face of fear, Bray Wyatt.
Right.
You are. It's. There needs to be something to fix Bray Wyatt as a character.
Okay.
I mean, we talked about it some last week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Bray Wyatt just is. Because he is good at being mysterious on the mic, but it's kind of led to nothing.
Right.
And the whole thing with Undertaker, where he did this face of fear thing, then lost, and then just kind of pretended that match didn't happen.
Yeah.
So, the face of fear, or the new face of fear, is a great name, really fits Bray Wyatt, and is not working right now.
Okay.
Not for me, at least.
Right.
And there's kind of... As a name and as a thing, the face of fear, or the new face of fear, there's nothing better for Bray Wyatt.
Right.
So it's not a, I don't feel like this is a you need a new gimmick feeling. This is a you need to fix the gimmick you have feeling. And the face of fear wanting to win a match by a count out
right.
doesn't work for me.
Well, okay, so it's not so much you need to, like, do anything with the character, but you... Thinking, like, he just needs to tool around a bit with his ring psychology, essentially. You know, be more of the, you know, overly bold, you know.
And, like, here's the, if you had the match go the exact same way, and you basically, while he was doing the count out, he's saying, come on, Ryback, come, let's go, let's play, or whatever.
Right, yeah.
It's something along those lines. Works better for me.
Mm-hmm.
Count him out, ref, is... Ultimate opportunist character.
Right, that's more of like a Seth Rollins heel move than what we think what a Bray Wyatt move should be.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, he needs to be more terrifying in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
More maniacal, I guess. And he has those moments, but, you know, you're saying like brief moments like that kind of like take you out of it.
Yeah.
Okay. I noticed that, but then again, I was also having some network issues. So.
Well, like, that's like, in all genuine fairness, like, that's a tiny thing, and it just, it rubbed me the wrong way special.
Okay, I mean, yeah, that's fine, I guess.
So, I mean, that's, you know, but that's something, because, again, we'll talk about little moments in a little bit.
Right, and again, that, like you said, it seemed to be a one-off.
Yeah.
Now we have John Cena defeating Rusev in the I Quit match, which ended with Lana saying that he quit by translating Bulgarian.
Yeah, he didn't say I quit.
No, he did not.
He said something, but he didn't say the words I and the word quit. So
not in English.
Yeah.
Because we're in America.
Well, he did. If you're going to...
We know he can say I quit.
That's the thing. Like,
we spent like weeks building this match up where he said, I quit.
If you're going to do semantics about how Cena can't say I quit because he's unconscious,
right,
then I feel like you have to say the word I and you have to say the word quit.
Right.
You have to make those phonetic noises to end the match if we're going to get all
nitpicky. It has to be you and not the person that you're, that helps represent you or right, anything like that. Yeah.
So...
It was kind of a cop out kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
it was a way for Cena to win the match and have Rusev lose, but not lose all credibility as a monster heel.
Yeah. I mean, both guys took genuine punishment, which was nice in an I Quit match.
I rolled my eyes so much when they did the pyro thing again.
Really?
Because I remember like the John Cena Randy Orton match for Randy like pressing at stuff and
oh,
like,
yeah,
nothing was working, and then he started pounding at it, and all of a sudden it was working, but John Cena moved it out of the way.
Yeah, no, I remember that.
Yeah,
it's the kind of thing for me where like, okay, I forget how slow I Quit matches are.
Yeah,
and they're
because there's a lot of walking around.
They're so very slow,
mm-hmm,
and this was no exception. It was so very slow, and
you're
like,
forgetting that like. The last time we saw an I Quit match was against Bray Wyatt last year, where John Cena put Bray Wyatt in a box, and then put another box on top of it, and then stood on top of it.
That was a Last Man Standing match.
It was?
Yeah.
I thought that was a...
He's not done an I Quit match since Miz, I don't think.
All right, never mind.
So...
I withdraw my point. But still, that was a dumb way for that match to end.
Well, I mean, it's... They're just... They're so very slow. And yeah, they're all John Cena-y, and so you're just kind of... It takes a lot of, like, okay, so John Cena's gonna win, so it takes a lot of the... mystery of how the match is going to end.
Right.
Which, so every time John Cena is hurt, you're like, well, I know it's not going to end yet, so I know I have to at least wait for Cena to get out of this and then do something to his opponent. Which, so, like, it makes the matches feel very, very long.
Mm-hmm.
And they are very long.
Yeah, they are.
So.
But, yeah. No,
that's my review of that one. It was slow.
No, you're not wrong. Next, we have Naomi and Tamina beating the Bellas.
Okay.
They had a championship match the next night.
Yeah.
Why not have that
the
at
championship oh, I... match on the pay-per-view that right, you're theoretically paying money for.
Right.
And the tag team match on the free television.
I mean, that's what they usually do anyways.
Yeah.
Like, 85% of Raws end on a tag team. And yes, 75% of people know that you can make up just a random percentage if you really want to. But yeah, like... That, as soon as they announced the championship match for Raw, that's the first thing that went through my mind. I was like, why do this now? Like, I get it. Like, it was, you know, supposed to break down and then Paige was supposed to come back. You could have easily done that on the pay-per-view.
Why couldn't Paige come back on the pay-per-view?
I don't know.
That's a poor choice.
I agree. So, yeah, Tamina and Naomi won her.
Yeah, okay.
Next, we have Neville beating King Barrett by countout. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much. It's all right.
Yeah.
It was a good match. Mid-card match, I guess.
It was a good mid-card match.
I would have liked to have seen, you know, Neville, like, actually won clean.
Yeah.
But then again, he did that on the last pay-per-view, but Barrett wasn't King Barrett back then.
So I feel like the whole King Barrett thing is to try and get us to forget Bad News Barrett, since
pretty much, yeah,
that got too popular, and we can't have that.
I'm still confused by that, by the way. Like, they decided, like, he's not allowed to come out and say, I'm afraid I've got some bad news, because it was too over.
Like, I don't understand.
Because there was, like, that 1 week or so before the last time he got hurt where he was a face. Really. It was, like, the day after WrestleMania last year or something like that.
Right.
I don't know. It might have been sooner than that, but he came out and he was like, "I'm afraid I got some bad news." Everyone cheered Ray, and he like was acting like a face.
No, I remember.
And
that.
I'm like, "All right, we're off to the races." And then they awkwardly turn him heel like a couple weeks later.
I don't understand if you do something, if you do a heel tactic or a heel gimmick, and people cheer for it. I don't understand the thought process is not, "Oh, I guess he's a face. Cool."
Right. Although I will say this. The one really super compelling thing about New Day was they were still doing face tactics and getting heel reactions, and then eventually kind of like giving their own heel reactions to it.
Right.
Now they're full-blown heel, so they're, you know, they're being typical heel mode. Like, we're going to come out here and make fun of your local sports team.
Yeah. But they act like faces.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, they represent themselves as... Say your prayers, eat your vitamins, hustle, loyalty, respect.
Yeah.
So.
Just the power of positivity.
Right.
Which Ryback poops.
It's the same thing that Bo Dallas does.
Yeah.
So.
No, you're absolutely right.
It's the here's the thing to cheer. Oh, you're booing it?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're,
it's a heel then.
It's them throwing out Ryback's poop because Ryback eats negativity and poops positivity.
I know. I was there.
All right, the last match on the card was the Fatal 4-Way for the championship.
Yes.
Good match. I enjoyed the crap out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It made pretty much everybody look strong. I mean, there were moments here and there where
even
felt like...
Even J&J Security looked pretty strong comparatively what they usually look like.
Yeah, fair enough. You know, there's that awkward... Not awkward, but like that moment where it's like, yeah, Randy, you're probably the odd man out and all this, but it's still not terrible.
But you know what? Here's the thing, and so that match told a really great story.
Absolutely.
Because part of it is because Randy Orton refused to team up with anybody the whole match long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, because that happens in...
And that's Randy Orton.
Well, that happens in Fatal 4-Ways, and these two guys are kind of team up for a while until they can't anymore.
Right.
And he wouldn't do that at all. Like, there would be one move, they would knock one guy out, and then he'd knock out the guy that just held them.
Right.
And so, they had to all three team up to finally take out Randy Orton.
Right.
And
that was interesting. Like, that was a compelling element to it. Like, you know, these two face guys, especially one who's super face, you know, actually teaming up with the most hated guy in kayfabe, like...
Because they work together really well as a three-person team.
Who would have
remember?
Right.
And, like, God, the reaction to that triple powerbomb.
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing. Like, that happened, and I'm like, they are going to reunite someday.
Right.
Like, that, just hearing that happen, I'm like, oh...
It might be years down the road, but yeah.
Barring injury, we'll see the Shield again.
Yeah. And right. even Ambrose and Reigns doing the whole, like, you know, we only have one winner, so, you know, might as well go at it, you know, that kind of thing. That was fun, you know.
It was. I liked that a lot.
Yeah.
I liked the involvement in it, like the Kane and the J&J Security kind of kerfuffle.
Yeah, and again, like, I was kind of weary at the beginning because at the beginning, it felt like a lot like Extreme Rules, where you're just waiting around for Kane to get involved in somehow.
Right.
Luckily, they kind of took care of that like pretty quickly.
Well, they had Kane get involved pretty quickly and kind of get beat up and kind of have him be this... So it's a, you know, not really a Fatal 4-Way, but like a, you know, 5-Way.
Two on three, essentially.
Yeah, only one of them's not legal, technically.
Right.
Kind of thing.
And in the corner for, you know, one of the other guys.
Right. So, no, I really liked how that... and it ends on a pedigree.
Yeah.
So, do you think this is why they took the curb stomp away? Because there was intention on giving him the pedigree? Because he's pedigreed twice in two nights now.
I think the pedigree thing came out of needing to find a new good finisher for Seth. From what I understand, like, Vince just didn't like the curb stomp.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, like, he made kind of a good point where, you know, he noticed it, especially during WrestleMania... He didn't like Brock Lesnar just kind of, like, laying around, you know, like an idiot waiting to get curb stomped, you know, because it was some degree of setup, you know, like, waiting for him to get up on his hands, but still laying down, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, I agree with that, because pedigree, you know, you control the... right. the opponent
well,
to get in position.
The thing with the curb stomps is the getting rid of the curb stomp came right on the heels of the curb stomp RKO moment.
Right.
So you're like...
That was just weird timing.
It was weird timing because everybody is very high on, oh, here it is, best curb stomp ever. Right. Oh, we're not doing the curb stomp
And I
anymore.
Guess a little bit has to do with, you know, the head injuries thing, because otherwise why would they edit it out of everything?
Right.
Like, they cut around it in the Roman Reigns documentary that they did. And I believe there was another, like, kind of looking back at WrestleMania where they... Or no, when they were, they did like a kind of flashback thing with when Seth curb stomped Dean through the cinder blocks. Mm-hmm. They just cut away, and next thing you know, you're shown
Dean.
Dean, who is just laying there in a bunch of crumbled cinder blocks.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I guess since they're cutting it out like that, that it has something to do with, you know, wanting to have a positive image as far as head injuries go.
Yeah.
So a little bit of A, a little bit of B. Well, but I feel like the pedigree itself kind of. I don't think they originally planned for that to happen. I think that just kind of came out of
them
shopping ideas. Whenever
it solves the problem.
Yeah.
So
because he did like this weird DDT thing, like right like that the night of, you know, everyone getting word that the curb stomp was banned or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and it didn't look particularly. It kind of looked, if I'm remembering correctly, it looked a little bit like a. The Dirty Deeds thing. Like, it was a DDT. That's all it was.
Well, that's the thing. Is like, it kind of hits the point where it's like, oh, we need a new finisher, and Raw starts at 8. Do something.
Here's a weird-looking DDT.
Yeah.
You know? Just like everybody else's finisher.
Mm-hmm. So, if the pedigree is now his new finisher...
Might as well. I mean, might as well have him inherit it.
Yeah.
You know? Triple H is going to use it, like, once a year. Like, he's going to use it a billion times in that one match, but it's still going to be once a year.
Yeah. Well, so here's the thing.
And let's be honest. Triple H's real finisher is Sledgehammer.
How likely is it that you think that we will have a Seth Rollins versus Triple H match?
I think it's pretty likely. I don't know who would be face, or, you know, I don't know who would turn or whatever.
Right.
But I feel like at some point we're going to see it. Like, you know, with Triple H doing the schedule that he's working on, like... You know,
I mean that'll
be around for a while.
That's not an outlandish WrestleMania 32 match, you know.
No, it's definitely not outside of the, you know, realm of possibility.
So is that something where, like, you know, but so if they both have the pedigree, is that gonna
yeah.
is that gonna come into play where they have the same finisher at that point?
Yeah. It might be one of those things where it's like the winner gets the pedigree for life or whatever, and, you know, or that could be like the official, like, Triple H giving it to him, kind of passing of the pedigree instead of the torch. I don't know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's a good choice for him right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pedigree that kind of means something.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, the pedigree isn't necessarily devastating by all means, but, you know, it has a larger meaning to it.
Yeah.
Considering who he's associated with and everything.
Yeah. But the thing that made the match so good was, like I talked about before, was little tiny moments. It was the, I guess there's nothing left between Roman and Dean. It was Seth putting in the shield fist.
Right.
And because it was this moment where you felt what Seth felt, because it was time to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I don't know, it was like this weirdly emotional thing where I do want, you know, in this, you know, little kayfabe believing heart, I'm like, all right, Seth needs to be beat down. Seth has never been properly punished for ruining the shield. But at the same time, he's putting in the fist, you guys.
Right.
Put in your fists.
Okay. We get it. Good job. And you're right, yeah, no, it's definitely, like, you know, tugs on the kayfabe heartstrings a little bit. Where you're like, maybe just this one time they'll team up together, but, you know, they do have to end this match somehow, so.
Yeah.
Probably isn't going to last, and it didn't even start.
Yeah. So, it was another match where it was, like, it was the match where, like, the whole match worked together to tell a story that was back and forth. That made everybody look strong. Dean came out of this looking fantastic.
He did.
Apparently, Dean is the new crowd favorite, if the noise is to be believed.
I mean, I would believe it, because, you know, they got to rally around somebody, and Daniel Bryan's gone, and Roman... I don't even think Roman was on Raw.
No, I think you're right.
Yeah, and so, I mean, and even if he was, he's not exactly getting the overly happy reaction that they're wanting.
Well,
but, so Dean is the logical next guy.
Well, here's the interesting thing. So, when Stephanie says, you know, three people tried and three people failed to beat you, and now they're going to the back of the line, and she says Randy Orton, Roman Reigns, and Dean Ambrose. And she said them in that order, pausing for the crowd to cheer for each one. And the crowd did pretty much 100% cheer for Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of gotten to that point where now that WrestleMania is safe,
right?
Like, it's safe, marked down in the history book.
It's safe to actually like Roman Reigns now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Is like, and so, but Stephanie McMahon saved Dean Ambrose for last. And Dean Ambrose was the one to come in and interrupt the backstage segment and talk to Kane. Dean Ambrose was the one to interrupt the main event, the Seth Rollins tribute thing. So, do you think that they're actually looking for a full-on Dean Ambrose push? Or do you think they are still twiddling their thumbs for the Roman Reigns thing and just trying to put a little bit more distance between the road to Mania and now for Roman Reigns?
I think more of anything, they're trying to build Dean more than he already is to be in the fans, in the casual fans' eyes, to be a credible threat to Seth.
Okay.
And honestly, beyond that, I think they're just biding their time for Brock to come back for SummerSlam or whatever.
Okay.
You know, really, because at this point, I'm thinking it's probably going to be Seth and Brock at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
If it's not Seth, or if it's not Brock and Roman, you know, part two, the way it was supposed to happen or whatever.
I don't know if we'll get another Brock and Roman match. Just a one-on-one Brock and Roman match for a while.
Yeah. And I was about to say, you know, without the threat of a Money in the Bank looming. But then again, that's going to be after Money in the Bank, so there'll be a new loomer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there will be.
But yeah, I do think SummerSlam will probably be Seth.
Here's the thing.
Brock.
Do you think Brock will be champion again?
Yeah.
In his career?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, he's got, what, three more years on his contract after they renewed it?
I can't remember if it's two or three.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No.
Okay. Right.
In 3 years, Brock Lesnar's absolutely going to win the championship.
So you think we'll have another period of time where we have that Brock Lesnar schedule of the champion where he just shows up maybe once every other month?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, I still think there's a very specific reason they laid such groundwork on the mid-card belts. You know, and yeah, like, that groundwork kind of came to fruition at WrestleMania, but it was also that same show where they moved the title to somebody who's there every week.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, they still have that, you know, that in motion for the mid-card belts to prepare themselves when and if Brock ever gets the championship again, so they can, you know, they could have everyone turn their focus elsewhere.
Okay.
All the time. So, all right. Yeah.
Just real quick on Raw before we move on to NXT.
Yep.
The Eric Rowan and Luke Harper are friends again?
Yeah, that happened.
Did I miss like an actual...
Well, they were together last week on Raw.
Yeah.
Apparently it stemmed from just them getting back together on SmackDown.
Settled their differences?
They were just like, hey, you want to do this? And the other one's like, yeah, sure, why not, you know?
Okay, all right.
In my eyes, it was like, oh, okay, we need more teams to fill out this,
this
Elimination Chamber thing.
Yeah.
And honestly, if they're not going to do anything with either of those guys individually, you might as well put them back as a tag team.
Yeah.
Same thing with the Primetime Players. Like, those guys broke up, and
they did break up.
They did break up.
Oh, wow, they had a match.
For, like, a good couple of years, I think.
They had a feud.
Yeah, I know.
Wow, I forgot.
But, yeah, like, they, you know, Darren Young, they really didn't do anything with him, and then he got hurt, so he was gone. But that entire time, they did absolutely nothing with Titus O'Neil.
Right.
So, with that in mind, it's, like, kind of the same thing. Like, you might as well have them tag team back up and have them do something.
Yeah.
You know? Because definitely the fans are more into primetime players as a team than they are individually with each guy.
Yes. Yeah, agreed.
And it feels like almost the same thing with the Wyatts. Yeah, people are a little bit more into Luke.
Mm-hmm.
But they really didn't care about Rowan.
Yeah. So Kevin Owen appears on Raw.
Owens.
Kevin Owens appears on Raw.
Yes. he answered John Cena's open challenge, and man, that was a good segment.
It was a good segment.
I kept yelling at my TV that it was happening too soon because I picked those guys to face off at WrestleMania 32, I believe.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm glad this is happening, but can you just wait it like a few more months?
Okay, so here's the thing. We've talked about surely we're going to have an NXT invasion angle at some point.
Right. The more and more NXT becomes its own brand, as Triple H likes to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like we have to have at least one bragging rights type pay-per-view where it's NXT guys versus WWE guys.
Right.
You know?
But here's the thing. So it feels like NXT has their roster to invade right now. They have Sami Zayn. They have Kevin Owens. Like
they just added somebody that right. is definitely, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. But they have Hideo. Like they have Finn Balor. Like
they won't have Hideo for like 6 to 8 months. But yeah.
Well, I'm just talking in general when we were discussing the possibility of an invasion angle.
They have the talent.
It felt like they had their SmackDown 6.
Essentially,
know?
Yeah.
They had their group, and so that's who they should be invading with. But, you know, Neville's not there anymore, so it's like they're already losing people, and, you know.
They can stand to lose a couple guys, I guess.
Well, yeah.
Especially because, I mean, NXT is starting to feel a little crowded at the top.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, yeah, they can stand to lose a couple guys, but no, you're absolutely right. Like, it feels like they have the right guys in place if they ever decide to pull that trigger in the very near future.
Yeah.
You know?
But so the thing was, like, we had Sami Zayn 2 weeks ago, we had Kevin Owens this yep. week, and we have Kevin Owens at Elimination Chamber,
yeah,
facing off against John Cena. So there's a little bit of like a, is it happening? Is this an invasion angle? Is this a invasion awareness?
I don't think this is an invasion angle. I think this is a Kevin Owens is a prick angle kind of thing.
Yeah.
And basically, like, he's doing this almost the same thing that he did to Sami Zayn when he first joined NXT.
Right.
You know, he's going after the big dog and attacking him, and basically, through his actions, getting a championship match out of it.
Now, his match at Elimination Chamber is not a championship match, correct?
I'm hearing some people say otherwise. It's not, from what I understand, it's not on the table yet. But I feel like it might get added as a championship match next week. Like,
okay.
I have a feeling Kevin Owens is probably going to do the same thing he did the same Zayn and just kind of, like, goat Cena into making it for the championship.
Okay, so that means that Kevin is was on last week, would be on next week, and then will be on a WWE pay-per-view.
Yes.
Is he a part of the main roster?
If he's... okay. I will, because I asked myself, I've been asking myself in that my head, like, ever since this happened. Because, you know, it's not outside of what they're used to with, you know, the NXT champion being on Raw, or debuting on Raw, you know. Because Seth was still champ when Shield debuted, Big E was still champ when he did.
But that also...
But then again, at that same time, those guys didn't show up to Raw wearing or carrying the NXT championship.
Right. And there was also some part of like delay because NXT did not air for several weeks after it filmed.
Oh yeah, and it's still that way.
I know it's still that way. But we
have But at the same time it wasn't as widespread watched by everyone at all the fans as it is now.
And NXT has live events now.
Yeah.
So we know, kind of, you know, it's kind of like we know what happens. We know where titles stand on people.
Yeah.
And you're right, like, Kevin Owens is showing up as the NXT champion.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what is he doing with that?
Right. I don't know. Maybe it's just a kind of a ploy to get the NXT faithful to tune into Elimination Chamber, you know?
Maybe.
Possibly, or get more people invested into getting the network and everything. But, I mean, of course, that's always their goal.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what the end game is. I do, like, once they announced that, I did kind of feel like, you know, well, you know, Kevin Owens has to win that TakeOver now because, you know, how are they going to have him lose to Sami Zayn and then, you know, the very next pay-per-view or whatever, have him be a John Cena credible threat?
You know,
or build him up to make him, you know, at Cena's level.
But, I mean, we're already getting to the point of how do you get that title off of Kevin Owens?
Right. In the same way of we're like, how do you get that title off of John Cena?
Right.
You know.
So, I don't know. Speaking of NXT, the TakeOver event.
Yep.
We
pretty much just watched it.
Yeah, just go ahead and go to the end.
I mean, you know,
I mean, not that we're skipping everything, yeah, yeah. But, like, just go ahead and, like, okay, okay. Let's talk about the fact that Samoa Joe showed up.
Maybe that's how you get the title off of him.
Maybe, and that's the thing, is like, so
then how do you get the title off of Samoa Joe?
Well, here's the thing, it was like just a few months ago where we were like, okay, they got Sting, Samoa Joe is the one that got away.
Our next guy, though.
So now, who is the one that got away?
I guess AJ Styles, I guess, like, I tend to go, like, whoever was a big name in TNA.
Yeah, I was like, AJ Styles, maybe Austin Aries?
Yeah. I mean, me personally, I would be like Nakamura, just because I love him a lot and I want to see him face off against. I have dream matches against certain guys in WWE, and he's getting, you know, I think he might be a year or two younger than Samoa Joe, but he's definitely not, you know, in his mid to late 20s or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
It feels like that window.
You could say like Young Bucks or something, but like. There's no reason to assume the Young Bucks are never coming to WWE.
Yeah, I read an interview they did yesterday, and it did feel like, you know, they had like a little bit of a bidding war with companies trying to get, you know, for their services. WWE was one of them, and they just decided, you know, we're going to go to New Japan.
Yeah.
You know, and they're saying like they're not against, you know, coming to WWE, it just wasn't the time.
Yeah.
Now, I do think it's interesting that, you know, they're trying to trademark trademark every single DX thing that they can because of the Too Sweet thing that Bullet Club's doing. And they're trying to Young Bucks' whole gimmick, but they're trying their best.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, it is their property, I guess, their intellectual property, whatever. Mm. But all that out of the window. Yeah, no, I feel like there's very much a feeling that Young Bucks will show up in WWE at some point.
Yeah.
I don't know. Samoa Joe, it seems like they're going to let him keep his name. Because I believe that shirt he was wearing had an NXT tag at the bottom.
I believe. Yeah, I didn't notice that.
It was like right when he first walked out. Yeah, it looked like it was like a yellow tag at the bottom of his shirt.
Right.
And it had Samoa Joe on.
Because I did wonder that. I did wonder, is he going to get to stay Samoa right. Joe?
Because it's like one of those guys where, like, it almost felt silly to change his name. Mm-hmm. Because he's made, pardon the pun, he's made such a name for himself in the indies, in TNA. What else are you going to call him? But at the same time, you could have said the same thing about Kenta. You could have said the same about Kevin Steen a little bit.
Yeah.
He's not exactly a household name, not quite like Samoa Joe.
Yeah, it's like that. That was not Samoa Joe level.
No,
like Samoa Joe was.
Yeah, he's definitely like the highest profile guy that they've picked up.
Yeah.
You know, even El Generico, it's easy. Just take the mask off him, and he's a new character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the rest of the guys, like, you know, like Kenta, like it felt like a little weird to change a guy's name like that. But with Samoa Joe, like...
Kenta was one that I did struggle with.
I did kind of scratch my head at that.
And Kenta's kind of like WWF, where, like, there's, like, he's now Hideo Itami. I'm like, no, he's not. Shut up. Not
then,
to me.
And then he comes out, I'm like, no, I'm Hideo Itami. I'm like, are you sure? He's like, yes. I'm like, fine.
Well, like, I think you could probably go back on the podcast and listen to me be like, I'm not going to call him that. I'm going to call him Kenta. And like now it's fine. It's yeah. You know,
it kind of with over time it kind of becomes normal.
But I remember being, you know, in school mm-hmm. and somebody telling me like it's not WWF, it's WWE now. And I remember being like, well, that won't stick. Nobody will say that.
Right. And here we are, like, 14 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm glad he's keeping his name, obviously. And like I said, it would be rough to really call him anything differently. I feel like with his personality, he probably would have pushed against that anyway.
Yeah. Do you think there is any chance they are going to try and, in kayfabe, relate him to The Rock?
I thought about that when I was over here. I'm like, they're going to try it. They wouldn't, though, would they?
I don't know.
Like, that's the thing I was asking myself. I was like, would they do that? No, they would. And then I was like, yeah, they would. They totally would.
The thing is, like, I'm sitting like, no, they wouldn't because he's too well known. And then I'm like, that could actually be a...
It was like, that was kind of a running joke. It's like they found the one guy from Samoa that wasn't related to The Rock.
Well, that's the thing is, like, he could almost, that could be part of his character. It was like, he's the only Samoan that's not relying on this name, this right. family name kind of thing.
And that's kind of his thing. Like, he didn't need to rely on the Anoa'i name to make it big.
But at the same time, I can totally 1,000% see The Rock holding his arm up doing that please like this guy pose. That Rock loves to do.
I
take it back. I'm sure Rock hates to do, but gets paid gobs of money to do.
Right, and I think Samoa Joe would probably hate it too. Like, he definitely seems like, I can do this on my own kind of guy.
But we, like, I still feel like they can do the Samoan pride thing without, like, having to be like, and they're related.
Right.
So, I don't know. He came in... The crowd, the commentator said, that's Samoa Joe.
Right.
There wasn't any sort of like, who's this new character?
Right.
What a surprising person I've never heard of.
But at the same time, they called him Kenta when he was first there. And it wasn't until he showed up for one of the takeovers where he's like, from now on, I will be called Hideo Itami.
Yeah.
You know, but up until that point, they called him Kenta.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't really call, you know, Finn Balor Prince Devitt or anything like that. Like, they just kind of did a thing on the screen where it says, you know, Prince Devitt turned into, kind of faded away and faded in with Finn Balor. You know?
Yeah.
But that was about it. So that's part of me was like, they're calling him Samoa Joe for now.
Yeah.
But again, like, I'll probably rewatch it, but I feel like that was an NXT tag on that shirt. So I feel like they're going ahead with it. Were you surprised?
Samoa Joe?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Me too. Because I felt like it wasn't a surprise that he showed up to NXT.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, you know, we all kind of knew that it was going to happen soon. Or not, it was going to happen.
I
thought we were still a few months away from it.
The thing is, like, I knew he was weighing his options.
Right.
I knew he was exploring other avenues.
And we had seen a lot of reports saying that, you know, a deal is in place. It's a foregone conclusion kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, we were always like, I don't know. We'll wait and see. Because honestly, I never thought we would see this happen.
Honestly, I thought...
And if it was happening, everyone's like, you know, towards the middle of summer, he'll wrap up all of his indie engagements that he's, you know, he's already booked. And then we would see him in NXT. I seriously thought we were a couple months away from it.
I kind of thought WWE wasn't going to be interested enough.
Right, like it's really just Triple H into him.
Well, like
that's what we heard, like Triple H was the guy that really wanted Samoa Joe.
Yeah, well, like my worry was, you know, like even if they got him, it was kind of just collecting all the cards in the deck kind of thing.
Right.
Where they were just like checking the box off, like, and we got him to do it. And, but for him to come in, interrupt the main event of NXT between the NXT champion and Sami Zayn.
Right.
Like, okay, I feel like they might have a plan for Samoa Joe.
Right. Unlike, you know, kind of what they did with Rhino, where he just came in and was like, oh, hey, that's a nice surprise, and he had a few matches and lost to Baron Corbin.
Right.
Yeah.
The other really big match is the Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks one.
Yeah, Becky Lynch is like a steampunk character now.
Yeah.
I dug that.
Let me tell you something.
Okay.
Watching watching NXT Women's Wrestling with Heather is a wildly different experience than watching
Divas matches with Divas, Heather.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I had a feeling that was a good match.
It was a good match.
Like, the whole, like, oh, it's a good match for Divas or whatever. Put all that aside. It was a good match.
It was a good match.
For anybody.
But, like, I was watching it with Heather tonight, and she basically, she was talking about it. Like, you know what? If my goal was to be a wrestler, and I was a woman, to be a women's wrestler, my goal would be to go to NXT.
Pretty much.
What is the advantage for women's wrestling to be called up?
There is none.
Like,
because you saw that with Emma.
Yeah.
Like, Emma was one of the top women on their female roster in NXT. And then you go to WWE and, you know, she's reduced to Santino duties.
Yeah.
You know? So, it seems like there's very little to none upside of getting called up to the main roster if you're a woman.
Yeah.
You know, what we need to see is a complete overhaul of how things are done with the Divas division.
Yeah. So, and I was like, I can't. I mean, like, I guess money is the one argument, but she was like, no, I would rather live in Florida, yeah, not have to do that travel schedule. And I was like, I can't disagree with you. Like, that's...
No, you can't, because she brings up valid, incredibly valid points.
Yeah.
Like, even to the point where, like, Triple H did his usual, like, phone conference.
Yeah.
Yeah. When, you know, someone asked him about it, and he's like, we don't really have something on the plan, on the books to do it, but having an all-female special, like, takeover for NXT, I'd absolutely be interested in it, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I could never see them doing, like, a WWE-style pay-per-view of just female.
They can't even get females to main event episodes of Raw.
Right,
that's happened twice.
Yeah.
I think Lita was in both of them, so that's the time frame.
Yeah. I mean, there might have been, like, one segment where it ended with, like, with the whole Stephanie and the Bella thing.
Yeah, there might have been,
but that was Diva-centered, like,
main event segments.
Right, but no match.
The main event match, the closing match of Raw, it's happened twice. And it was like, early 2000s last time it happened.
Right. So, yeah, no, she brings up a very valid point. Like, if you're a female wrestler, your aspirations are NXT.
Yeah.
Because that is where you're going to get a huge fan following.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get a lot of time to showcase what you're capable of.
Well, that's why I feel like...
I'm not saying, like, females, like, should limit themselves to just that, but if your goal is to get a huge fan following and show off your abilities to the fullest extent, NXT is the place.
There's a reason that Blue Pants gets a higher reaction than Rosa Mendez.
Well, yeah. You're right.
I mean, it's... That's where you want to go.
Although, let me just say this. I cannot stand Dana Brooke.
Yeah?
She looks like a duck. All she does is basically feel herself up all the time. And her voice is horrific. She did, like, this one interview with one of the interview, like, the main interview girl for NXT. I can't remember her name right now.
Renee Young?
No. It's a fairly new person.
Oh, okay.
Renee Young's doing, like,
I thought you meant, like, on the commentator.
No. One of the, like, the interviews.
Okay.
Backstage,
okay.
Or whatever. And I don't know, like, the mic had a weird, it was, like, a weird setting to it, to where, like, the S's for everybody was, like, overemphasized.
Mm-hmm.
And she came on, and it was just, like, kill me now, please.
Yeah.
And she's not that good in the ring. But granted, you know, it's NXT. It's still
NXT. It's a training.
You still have to remind yourself that it is still a developmental system.
Yeah.
So you can only be so harsh on somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's the case with Baron Corbin. Like, people were really harsh on him at TakeOver.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where you almost kind of lose focus of, like, you know, he's still developing guys. Almost to the point where it's like, I don't know, maybe, like, WWE needs another development system. Like, something like a development system for NXT. you know?
I mean, they do have...
Like, something that isn't televised.
They do have training. And part of the thing is, like, you know what?
And the majority of people that are training, you never see on TV. Or at least you won't for a while.
The thing with a Baron Corbin is, I do feel like the thing that Baron Corbin is missing is his ability to work on a television show in front of an audience.
Personality, essentially.
I mean, yeah, that's I think that's you're gonna learn that
his
there.
His personality is him, like, looking up in his ring entrance, like that's it.
Yeah, but that's the kind of thing. It's like I get you're going for a star personality. I get you're playing to strengths.
Right.
Like, but the other thing you do is you film yourself cutting promos and then you watch yourself cutting promos.
Right.
And that'll only take you so far. So the things he has left to learn are things that you learn by being on a TV show in front of an audience.
Right, yeah. There's no substitution for that, you know?
Right.
Well, until you get in front of a live audience and a live camera, yeah, there's no way to really learn.
And that's the thing. It's like Brian Corbin can now go and watch...
Sharon.
I don't know any of their names.
You called him Brian.
I know. Clearly, there's Kevin Owen, Brian Corbin, Adrian Neville...
You got it right.
Aaron Neville.
One time you were purposely trying to get his name wrong, you got it right. Like a pleb.
This is why we need to record not these ungodly early morning hours.
Find me a better job or pay me.
This is why, because everybody's name is slightly off.
Fair enough.
So, Wilson Regal, the manager.
Now you're just being petty. How dare you? He took a pretty good headbutt.
He did.
I was kind of surprised. I have a feeling, like, at that point, I was like, that's how they get the belt off of him. They just DQ him and strip him of the belt for attacking the GM.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it still might be the case, but I feel like before that happens, we're going to get, you know, Samoa Joe and...
Well, you think Samoa Joe gets to jump in line in front of Finn Balor? Because Finn Balor's number one contender now, isn't he?
No, he's not. Oh, yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. Right. For some reason, I thought Tyler Breeze won that match.
I was like,
I mean, I would
Frank
be okay.
Balor?
Yes. Frank Balling. Yep, that guy. Now, for some reason, I thought Tyler Breeze won that match.
Okay.
But he definitely did not.
No.
Not that I would be against that.
No.
They need to do something more with Tyler
Breeze. I feel like Tyler Breeze is perpetually...
Lost in the shuffle?
Yeah. He's always the not-quite-yet guy.
But I feel like he's absolutely ready for the main roster.
I think so.
But I feel like even when they do, he's going to get kind of shuffled.
I feel like the Prince Pretty gimmick is going to get Adam Rose emoed just in this, like, oh, all right, yeah, kind of thing.
Because it's a guy who is fully committed to it, just like Adam Rose was.
Yeah.
You know, but... You know, we see that over and over again that, you know, not everything that works in NXT is going to work at WWE because it seems like almost everything works for NXT.
Right.
Except for Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
And Will Dempsey.
Watch Baron Corbin just strike gold when he hits Raw.
Oh, my God.
Like, it's just that...
And then, like, and really, like, not change anything, but for some reason the fans adore him.
I mean...
And I'll just be that one guy in the corner just like, screw this guy, man.
I'm gonna be totally honest, like... Ryback, during his, like, initial four-month Feed Me More build,
yeah,
was, like, not wildly different than what we're looking at now.
Right.
And go back and watch Ryback versus Punk at Hell in a Cell. Like, that crowd had decided that Ryback was clearly coming.
Right, no, because me and Jason were at that Raw... soon after that, because it was leading to TLC, and actually that was the moment where they kayfab Punk's injuries and had Ryback put him to the table. Actually, I think him putting that table made it worse, so I don't know if they kayfabbed it. It were just, you know, he legit hurt Punk.
Yeah.
But it ended, it was the lie detector thing with
right, I remember.
With Miz's show or whatever. But yeah, no, like, any time that a heel was, you know, trying to get the upper hand on a face and they're trying to do numbers game or whatever, the crowd just were instantly chanting for Ryback.
Yeah.
You know, and Ryback didn't show up until, like, you know, the end. But yeah, like, the entire night, it's like, holy crap, like, I didn't realize this guy was that over.
Yeah.
And of course, that was the last time Raw was ever at Greensboro.
I know.
Because the crowd was... A, the crowd was crap whenever me and you went.
I remember.
And then on this one, nobody showed up.
Yeah.
Like, they had the you know, the top level curtained off, and then, like, moved half the audience to the hard camera side.
Yeah.
And, you know, the, away from, you know, the other side that the camera wasn't facing on was almost empty.
Right.
It was embarrassing.
Sorry, you guys.
The Greensboro. We used to be, like, a hub for wrestling. Like,
yeah.
We used to be, like...
Starrcade.
Yes. Yeah, we were the home of Starrcade for the longest time. What happened?
I don't know.
Like, the Rock This Is Your Life thing in Greensboro. Highest rated segment of Raw all time.
Yeah.
What the crap, you guys. Greensboro, get it together.
You got anything else for this week?
Not for classy Greensboro attire, I don't.
Okay.
No, that's it. We don't have any male sex.
So. All right.
What's making you happy this week, Joel?
Probably getting married.
I was gonna... See, this is just like whenever you get engaged, I was gonna let you say it and see if you caught on. And if, like, you didn't say it, I was gonna call you out.
I feel like the answer is that this is... By the next time I'm on this podcast again, I'll be married.
You'll be Mrs. Joel Newberry.
No, I won't be Mrs. anything.
Okay.
I could be, Mr. Heather.
Mr. Heather Newberry.
I mean, she's not keeping her last name.
I figured.
Although I don't think she's changing it by the time I'm on the podcast again.
Yeah, fair enough.
So.
But we'll be calling her Mrs. Leonard.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's what it's going to be anyway.
What's making you happy?
That I don't have another wedding to get ready for. No, I had a wedding this past weekend, and it ended up being a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. I was the best man at it. It was the first time ever being a best man. That was fun, and I'm glad that I had that experience and got to experience it with, you know, people I'm really close to. But at the same time, I am so glad I don't have to do that with your wedding, because your wedding is just family.
That's right.
And I thank you so much for it. And I will gladly...
do it just for you, man.
And I will gladly watch your cat for you while you're gone as payment. But as far as, like, wrestling related, like, how can you say anything but TakeOver and Samoa Joe? Like, I feel like that's the thing.
Samoa Joe.
Yeah. I am looking forward to Elimination Chamber a lot. Like, there's a lot of intrigue for me.
I am. I feel like Samoa Joe, as much as, and in some ways more than Sting, was the most that I'm ever going to feel like during the time when people were mysteriously just going over to WCW and who was going to show up next.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's like, I didn't watch during that time, so I didn't get that.
Yeah.
And so, like, I knew, like, Sting coming was amazing.
Yeah.
But I knew Sting was going to show up at some point. Like,
because he'd been on WWE contract for like a year almost before that.
So Samoa Joe showing up out of nowhere.
Right. And not knowing, like, if he was for sure under contract. We had a feeling. And again, like I said, like, I thought we were months away from that happening, and when it showed up, it was that moment of, like, you know, like, rubbing my eyes to make sure, like, I'm seeing this right. Like, Samoa Joe's on a WWE ring.
I mean, the thing is, like, I
did that a little bit when Kevin Owens first showed up at one of the takeovers. So it was just like, I knew he was going to be there, but I'm still, like, you know.
Well, it was the kind of thing where, like,
if I was
I watched TNA a good bit while Samoa Joe was on. That was, you know, when I was watching TNA a lot. So, like,
a lot of times that was the reason to watch TNA.
That's the thing, is like Samoa Joe came out, and I'm like, Samoa Joe interrupting a main event. Looks like TNA's giving Samoa Joe a push. Wait a minute.
This is NXT, yeah.
I'm not watching TNA at all. I've been enjoying myself this whole time.
that's the tell. it absolutely, like, that's what's making
of course
you
that's
happy,
that's making you wrestling
you
happy.
And your wedding can take back seat.
All right, as always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire. We live tweet Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, I don't know what I'm going to do next week without Joel. Haven't figured that out. Well, I have ideas, and I just haven't pieced it together. So I might need some things to talk about, so send all of that to our email. That's classroomingattire@gmail.com. Please, thank you. I need it really bad.
Next time on Lonely Ring Attire. We are also on iTunes, so you can follow us on iTunes, subscribe over there. Give us a rating of
5 stars, you prick.
Or write a review. That stuff really helps out the podcast.
And if you're listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling, leave us a comment on there. I can get some ideas for what to talk about from there, too.
We're also on Facebook. Don't forget about that. You can follow us on Facebook. Easy way to follow us and just general extra wrestling things.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah. Bye, Joel.